Welcome back to Trends in Low Places, a comedic exploration of the dumbest stories of the day. I am one of your co-hosts, Mike Cushing.
And I am the chicken to his waffles, Michael Howard.
Damn, Michael, that sounds tasty as hell.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
I gotta tell you, I've been doing like the low carb thing for a while. Mm-hmm. And so chicken and waffles sounds really good all the time. But this last weekend, I probably ate more carbs in like the last 2.5 days than I have in the last 2.5 years. It was a carb bonanza. I started with a chicken tender sub at Publix and just, uh-huh. And then it was like a million donuts and some ice cream and all sorts of other good stuff. It was a good weekend.
You bastard. Just mentioning chicken tender sub makes me like, just makes my mouth water.
It had been a while. It had been almost like 3 years, I think, since I'd had
one. Are you kidding me? Yeah, oh my man. God. Every time I go back down to Florida, that is the first. Actually, Rachel's parents picked us up at the airport last time we were in Orlando. I already had pulled up the closest Publix on the way to their house. And like, I was like calling ahead to make sure that they had chicken tenders because they picked us up at like 9:40. Most Publixes close at 10.
Mm.
And you know what? They were the nicest people. I called the dude. I was like, hey, you got chicken tenders? And he's like, yeah, I got a few left. And I was like, I really just need a sub. And he was like, yeah, don't worry about it, man. I gotcha.
Michael,
and I
got in there. It is where shopping is a pleasure.
Yeah. I got in there. He already had my chicken tenders set aside, cut up and waiting for me. It was a beautiful thing.
Wow. That's yeah. Customer service.
Hell yeah.
Well, Michael, let's get into the show. It's been a while since we've had to do this. Because 2017, well, not really firing on all cylinders on the, like, oh, cool, what a great year front. It'd been okay for, you know, the last couple weeks on the terms of, on the celebrity death front. But unfortunately, 2017 has continued 2016's grim harvest. And today, we lost a celebrity before their time. Mr. Bill Paxton passed away during surgery.
Yeah. And I have to admit that I had to quickly look up which one Bill Paxton was.
You son of a bitch. You thought he was Lone Star?
No. I got it. I guessed right that he was the Apollo 13 and Twister actor.
But many other great films.
Well, yes. But those are the ones that I think really stand out for me. Actually, Michael, the one that really stands out for me, Club Dread, where he was.
The Jimmy Buffett knockoff?
Yeah, the Jimmy Buffett. Who claimed that Jimmy Buffett stole his entire act.
I think you mean Pina Coladaberg, friend.
That's actually one of my favorite Bill Paxton roles ever, is that movie. So.
It is one hell of a line. He had one hell of a performance. Actually, he was one of those guys who, you know, never going to win an Oscar.
No.
You know, but brought so much to, like, the roles that he was in that he was almost instantly memorable, always fun.
Yeah, I looked up his IMDb. I mean, he was in Aliens, Tombstone, True Lies, Titanic.
Do you know that he was only Tomorrow? He was one of only two actors to have been killed by a alien, a predator, and a Terminator?
Well, then.
Yeah.
That's actually a nice trifecta, I think.
Very solid work. I mean, if you leave that kind of resume behind,
hell yeah,
you've left a mark on the world, an indelible mark upon the entertainment world.
Yeah, and I mean, I do feel bad because literally the first thought I had, though, when I found out that Bill Paxton died was, oh man, Bill Pullman finally got him.
Damn, that's ice cold. But
yeah, I was like, I imagine like a Highlander situation, like there can only be one.
Bill Pullman was like, I am going to live on. Just like in my speech. Damn, I feel bad about that one.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've been so intertwined for so long. There are so many like articles out there where it's like, oh, the Bill Pullman or Bill Paxton, you know, quizzes.
Sure.
So, I mean, I don't think that it's like the worst thing in the world to talk about the fact that, you know, they had a pretty intertwined career, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's mostly, it was two actors who weren't going to blow the socks off of anybody with a performance, but were just like fun guys who mm-hmm. did a great job, memorable performances, clearly not super memorable enough, but, you know, just like, I think for our generation in particular, like they were in a ton of great movies that like everybody liked, so.
Yeah, so if you had to pick one though,
Oh, damn, dude.
Between Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton. Because, like, I think that Bill Paxton was in more good movies, but, like, Bill Pullman is probably one of the top three presidents of all time.
Certainly the best movies. Certainly the best movie speech of all time.
Yeah. So, like, how many points does that get him?
A lot. I mean, especially for me, I think I want to say that was one of, like, the first, like, Independence Day was one of the first, like, big budget blockbuster movies I saw in the theater. And he was awesome in that. Will Smith was obviously awesome. Harry Connick Jr. was sick as hell, which is that never happens. So I think, like, that movie in particular has a lot of, like, cachet for me. Pullman was also Lone Star in Spaceballs, which I loved dearly. Right. So
yeah.
I mean, if you had to press me, I would probably give the edge to Pullman, but I did love a good Bill Paxton film.
Really?
Yeah.
The edge to Pullman, is that, like, mostly from just those two iconic roles?
I would have to say yes.
I mean, because the body of work, looking at the body of work on the IMDb, Bill Paxton, like I said, I mean, Apollo 13, Twister, five seasons or six seasons or whatever of Big Love, Titanic. No. U-571, Tombstone.
Obviously, I mean, the superior, like, role. I mean, I can't say anything about that.
So Paxton, saving the world from aliens. I mean, I think that does give you.
I always kind got of this. I always got the sense that Pullman was a better actor. That just, like, maybe things didn't break his way. Ben Paxton was just, like, just kind of like the guy who could choose scenery in the background and be like, "Game over, man, game over," and, like, you know, would just die. Like he got killed and everything.
Bill Pullman also did. He was also kind of like the dopey other dude in a couple movies, like Sleepless in Seattle.
Yeah,
where he actually got left, you know, and, like, While You Were Sleeping, where, like, Sandra Bullock completely, like,
I forgot about that movie.
On that movie, it's really fucked up. Like, she just claims that she's his wife or fiance or whatever. When he falls onto the tracks of the train, he's, like, in a coma, and she's like, "Yeah, no, totally, I'm
his Michael, wife. I'm about to go deep on this movie because I've actually seen it approximately 15,000 times. No, my family used to watch it, like, every Thanksgiving, and to this day, my Uncle Gus, every Thanksgiving dinner, has to stop dinner and say, "These mashed potatoes are so creamy," which, for anyone who hasn't seen While You Were Sleeping, is a throwaway line in that fucking movie, and my uncle loves it so much, he has to stop dinner and make everyone listen to it all the time. It's fucking unreal.
Oh my god, I love that. Look, I've known you for a long, long time. Like, what, it would probably, like, 12 years at this point?
Yeah.
I love the fact that, like,
I've never mentioned While You Were Sleeping.
You've never mentioned the fact that you are, like, a connoisseur of While You Were Sleeping before. And these are the type of things that I learned about you on this podcast that just, like, oh god, it's so good.
He was leaning. That's another line from the fucking movie. Don't worry about it.
I also love that, like, Bill Paxton was in Tombstone, and Bill Pullman was in Wire.
Here's another one, and we can move on from this because I feel like we're this could just be a Bill Pullman, Bill Paxton, like, podcast for 20 minutes. I will say, very, I think, little known and underappreciated sci-fi cartoon called Titan A.E., which, like, Matt Damon and Drew Barrymore, and I believe, and Bill Pullman was, like, kind of like a semi-antagonist in it, and he's just fucking great in it. And that movie's awesome. I encourage anyone who likes sci-fi to go see Titan A.E., but anyway, I digress.
I think I've seen that, but I honestly couldn't tell you anything about it.
Yeah. Well, it's great. It's fucking rad. That's all I can tell you. Anyway, I do want to, we didn't talk about Mary Tyler Moore passing away a couple weeks ago.
That is true. Yep.
That was a super bummer, but she was also 80 years old. And I think today, Michael, you just told me that someone else passed away, someone who I grew up with as well.
Yeah, Judge Wapner from the People's Court. You know, he was 97 years old, so, I mean, he obviously lived a very full life, but
yeah.
Sad to see him go.
He'd seen a full docket of cases.
And I honestly hadn't heard anything about the People's Court in a long time until I was watching SNL, and they were with the Melissa McCarthy as Sean Spicer, where they were like, when Donald Trump said, "See you in court," about the federal judges, and they were like,
"People's court."
What court? She was the people's court.
The cases are real.
The cases are real. They clearly say that at the beginning. So yeah. So I mean, I have to say, I mean, we're on, you know, what, almost finished with February.
Months. Yeah,
and you know, we lost an 80-year-old Mary Tyler Moore, a 97-year-old Judge Wapner. Bill Paxton was really the first
before his
major
time.
Celebrity who was a lot before his time, only 61 years old. So, right.
So yeah, that's a bummer. But
yeah, I would say, speaking of things that maybe a lot of people don't know about Michael Cushing.
Oh, God.
Oh, we no. had a story come across the Facebook from our friend Walter, the 6 foot Wang.
A story came across my desk this week,
which you tried to hide from me, Michael Cushing.
Yeah,
and
she
I'm
did.
Really upset about it. But Mr. Aaron Carter was attacked on stage this past week.
Yeah, he sure was.
Yeah. You want to tell us a little bit about Aaron Carter, Cush?
I mean, I can only tell you the bare bones of this story, because I believe he...
Oh, no. I don't mean about this story. I just mean about, like, Aaron Carter in general. Do you want to tell us a little bit about Aaron Carter?
I mean, again, all I know is that he's the younger brother of Nick Carter, who I believe is a Backstreet Boy of some kind. But I once, after raising nearly $650 in a night for Movember, mm-hmm. Went to go see Aaron Carter and live tweeted
the... I was like, what was the title of that trip there, or the concert series that Aaron Carter was doing?
I don't know. I mean, I used the hashtag Aaron's Party to promote it, which led him to finding me and friending me on Twitter and Instagram. And he actually retweeted a couple of my things, which were...
Are you serious? Are you still friends with Aaron Carter on Twitter?
No, as of about 2 months ago, I think he realized the my con, and he unfollowed me, unfortunately. I will say, though, the one thing that he liked on Instagram was a picture of his show while he was singing "I Want Candy," which is, you know, a seminal classic hit. So the caption was, "I want candy, I want to fucking leave," and he liked it. But Mr. Carter, he got in some trouble this last week, Michael, since you're going to make me fucking talk about it.
Yeah, he did.
And so the cynical part of it. So anyway, what happened was, he was at a show, I guess his opening act, they got in some sort of kerfuffle. The opening act got kicked out, and the opening act was Latino, a Latino gentleman. And
it was a group called Ill State.
Right.
Which is three Latino gentlemen, actually, but I guess one of the main dudes.
As the singer was being escorted out, Aaron Carter yelled, "Bye, Felipe," a super clever turn on "Bye, Felicia."
Yeah.
That gentleman re-entered the show eventually, and I believe came on stage and punched Aaron Carter in the head.
Yeah. A couple times, sounds like. So I'm torn a little bit, because I do have to say that "Bye, Felipe" is
one
kind of a funny line.
Yeah, kind of.
But at the
also
same time,
a little racist.
Right, I can see where the guy would have taken it from a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Aaron Carter as a little bit of a racist comment.
Just a bit. Anyway, here's the cynical part of me. Aaron Carter seems to already, you know, be able to do anything to recapture the fame of his lost Disney days.
Mm-hmm.
The cynical part of me says that he cooked, like, he just knew some sort of, like, semi-racist comment would get him back in the news. Or, like, if he got hit by someone and, like, didn't get beat up and, you know. And again, this is a dude who's, like, a Trump supporter, like, accidental Trump supporter, I think, and has previously talked about 9/11 publicly. Like, you know, like, the cynical
dude,
part
he
of me
looks,
is,
he looks really rough now, too.
He had some demons he had to overcome, Michael.
Yeah.
Maybe if you followed the Aaron Carter story as much as I have, you would know that he's really been through the ringer and has really come out the other side.
So
he's
one of the things he tweeted out afterwards was, he basically said, let's see, I don't want to get the tweet wrong. He said, "I didn't get beat up. I got hit and pushed when I wasn't looking, and they ran out of the club, and I stood up on the speakers waiting for them." Basically saying, like, they sucker punched me, And I was out there waiting for him, and they didn't come back.
Hmm.
So he thinks himself a little bit of a tough guy.
Yeah, which as a like 5'6" string bean, you know, yeah, he's earned every right of that.
Michael Cushing.
Oh God,
this is not the first time that Aaron Carter has gotten his ass kicked.
No, well, he did beat Shaq that one time, so whatever beatings he has received, he's overcome all of them by the time he was 11.
So in 2013. Aaron Carter showed up on the old Instagram or Twitter or one of the social media feeds with kind of a shiner, a little mm-hmm. bit of a black eye.
Yeah.
He claims that he was jumped by four dudes who were pissed that he was on New Kids on the Block turf performing. And he got jumped.
Yeah, dog, this is Donnie Wahlberg's block.
And I'm not even joking about this. I was like, no, this cannot be true. And I looked up. There are multiple sources from this. Aaron Carter claims that he was walking down the street in Boston before a show that he was supposed to do in Boston. And one dude jumped out of a car and said, "I heard you're doing a show here tomorrow. This is the town of the New Kids." Then three other dudes jumped out of the car and tried to beat his ass.
God, I wish everyone... Okay.
Oh, my God. And it gets better, Kush.
How could it possibly get better?
So he claims that they got in a few clean punches, hence sure. the shiner in his eye.
Sure, but then he fought off four dudes.
Yes. He said he made them... he said he made them turn around because he's got a sixth degree black belt in Muay Thai.
Oh, my God. Okay. Well, first of all... Oh, okay. Oh, God. Okay, so, first of all, apparently Boston really is just the town of Marky Marks.
Yes.
Are willing to just, like, throw rocks and hit people mm-hmm. in the slightest provocation. Holy shit. This is, first of all, I so doubt that Aaron Carter has a sixth degree black belt in literally anything, except mm-hmm. maybe being terrible at Instagram. I don't know. Oh, my God. Okay, yeah. Just the mere fact that I'm sure that... if that actually happened, those Boston fellows didn't give a shit about New Kids on the Block. Like, they might eat at Wahlburgers every once in a while, but they're just probably thought, hey, that's Aaron Carter. You know what would be a hilarious, just super asshole thing to do? Let's pretend to be New Kids on the Block fans for like 30 years after they're relevant and just get after it.
Well, and the best part is, like, this is all straight from the horse's mouth of Aaron Carter, because he didn't file a police report. Do you know why he didn't file a police report on this?
Because he made all three of them step back, because he's got a six-degree black belt in Muay Thai, Michael.
He said that reporting crimes is girly.
Okay. We've talked a lot about toxic masculinity mm-hmm. on this show. And yeah. Sir, Aaron, my dude, the best Aaron's party is reporting crimes. Take that to the bank.
He also said, people think I'm a pretty little white boy, but no way. I think I won. I'm still standing.
Anyway, Michael, so...
Wait, I got one more thing that I want to say about this story.
How? We've talked for 20 minutes about Bill Paxton, Bill Pullman, and Aaron Carter. This is the dumbest show.
So, after he got jumped by what he claimed were New Kids on the Block supporters... He tweeted out at Jordan Knight of New Kids on the Block fame. He tweeted out, "This one of your homies, he got his ass handed to him last night, but his boys got me."
He went at Jordan Knight?
He called out Jordan Knight after he claimed he got beat up by some New Kids on the Block supporters.
Again. Okay, so he went at Jordan Knight because he knew Mark wasn't going to pick up the phone.
Oh, once again, Walter, thank you so much for bringing this to my attention. And Michael Cushing, fuck you for trying to hide it from me.
God. Take that, Jordan Knight, you dick. Anyway, well, Michael, so speaking of things that I was trying to hide from you, so this stems from a conversation I had with my sister over the weekend. I was driving down to Florida to pick up my puppy. And on the live show we recorded in Chicago, we talked about something that wound up not getting re-recorded. Mm-hmm. And that was the fact that Mr. Donald Glover was cast in the upcoming live-action remake of The Lion King, along with James Earl Jones, reprising his role as Mufasa.
Right, but Mufasa. But it actually isn't a live action, because like all the animals are made with CGI, right, and Michael, there are no humans in it, so it makes it literally no live action at all.
None of this matters to the story at hand. Yeah, okay.
I don't care. I still like, would like to point out that that's fucking bullshit.
Right, it's basically the Jungle Book. Whatever, who cares? But Donald Glover's in it. Okay, none of that matters. In that conversation, I think I said to you that they are also going to remake a ton of other Disney movies, including like Beauty and the Beast is coming out. Mm-hmm, Cinderella is coming out, is what I said. Michael, do you recall a 2015 live-action remake of Cinderella?
No, that happened?
Okay, yes! Yuri, okay, good. Thank Christ. Okay, so.
What?
Yay, you're on board with me. Okay. So, I was on the phone with my sister, and she was upset about the Beauty and the Beast remake, because the clothes in the show, like in the movie, like the like all the costumes and the wardrobe, were not up to what she would have expected based on the Cinderella remake. And my response was, "What Cinderella remake are you talking about?
Was this a movie or like was it a made for TV thing or what?"
Yes, I'm so glad you're with me. Okay, so she then proceeded for like 15 minutes to tell me all about this movie, and that it included, like, as Cinderella, like, someone from Downton Abbey, Kate Blanchett was the evil stepmother.
What?
Robb Stark from Game of Thrones was Prince Charming, and, like, all this shit, and I honestly had no recollection of this film, which, like, it seems like something I just hear, like, oh, Disney's remaking Cinderella.
To hear about that.
So it's like a 15-minute conversation in which I'm just convinced that she's gaslighting me about this fucking movie. And including, like, she sent me, like, cast photos and a Wikipedia page. I'm like, you made all those up.
Fake news.
fake news. And I, like, it literally blew my mind for some reason. Like, again, I'm on the internet pretty much every day of my life.
Yeah.
I listen to entertainment news. And this just literally...
Holy shit. It was directed by Kenneth Branagh.
that was the kicker. That's how she sold me.
Holy shit. It's got Stellan Skarsgård and Kate Blanchett and Helena Bonham Carter. What? Yeah. When did this happen?
2015. Yeah, it's a dynamite cast, Michael. I don't understand. Like... Again, like, I have literally no recollection of this movie.
It made $543 million at the box office. How did I miss this completely?
I mean, at this point, I might have seen it. I don't know. Just, like, I was trying to think of, like, what I was doing in March 2015 when this movie allegedly came out, and I don't know.
Oh, man.
I have no recollection of it at all.
Okay. Well. Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, Michael, we talked about this. I had my own phantom time gap. the whole world is a lie. I have no idea what we're doing here. I don't remember this movie even a little bit.
I know nothing about this movie. I did not hear about it. If you had told me, if you had asked me, like, did they make a live-action Cinderella? I'd be like, no, it definitely did not happen.
What a great idea that is. Someone should definitely do that.
Yeah, and maybe they should get, like, Kate Blanchett to play one of the main characters.
Yeah, again, like, clearly a giant fucking movie. I had no idea.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It won Best Costume Design at the Academy Awards.
Which is apparently what my sister loved about it, and what, and according to her... Beauty and the Beast won't. Call him a shot right now. 2018 Oscars, not happening. Sit down, Beauty and the Beast. Well, I guess this tees up another conversation that we were sort of talking about. So Beauty and the Beast, you know, quintessential 90s kid film. I think everyone on the fucking planet has probably seen it at this point.
Oh, yeah. But if you ask my wife, Rachel, it is probably one of the worst Disney movies. I mean, she hates Disney movies. Well, I don't want to put that in her mouth. She doesn't hate Disney movies, but she really dislikes the treatment of the Disney princesses, I will say, by
Please address Disney. All hate mail to Rachel.
I mean, I can't really argue with that. I mean, that's like a I do want to say, just and as a man, so my opinion means nothing. Reading articles about like people ranking Disney princess movie, like, mm-hmm. or Disney princesses, yeah. in movies, they've gotten better. Probably still have a long way to go.
It's not as bad as Little Mermaid, where she literally has to, Ursula literally tells her to use her body,
right,
to get the prince, because she can't have a voice. But it is still one of the not as good ones.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, no, I certainly get that. yeah, that's, again, I think they're getting better. Like Frozen, like the literal end of the message was like, no, we got each other. We don't need any dudes. Bye. Mm-hmm. but it seems like the 90s are making a comeback. You know, I guess everything gets remade eventually. Beauty and the Beast is coming out. But I just saw two big stories that I'm very excited about. One, Mystery Science Theater 3000 coming back on Netflix next
Hell
month.
Hell yeah.
Michael,
Hell
get yeah. excited.
Oh my God. And yeah, no, that's awesome. I remember watching Mystery Science Theater when I was like in middle school.
Mm-hmm. That was literally my Saturday morning every year, yeah. or every weekend for like 4 years. I would just wake up and watch Mystery Science Theater. It
yeah,
was awesome.
No, that was great. I mean, are they going to still do like the really old movies that like no one's ever heard of, or are they going to do like newer movies that have happened in the past 15 years?
I'm pretty sure. I didn't read too much into it just because I kind of want to be surprised by it, but I think they're going to do older movies still.
Okay.
Particularly because they already do, like Joel Hodgman, a lot of the guys involved in the original show do riff tracks, which are just like audio like files you can download to like sync up with a movie. And they're already hilarious. So I feel like getting into the old movies and just like really having fun with it is probably still the core of the show.
Yeah. I mean, you sent me the link to Riff Tracks and I had not heard of that. And I'm pretty excited about diving into that a little
bit. I will say I've watched two that way. I've watched Point Break, which is frankly fantastic. And Twilight, the original Twilight movie, which I would say is probably the only way to watch Twilight. It is the only way I've watched Twilight, and it was pretty good. So I will say that. Right. Secondly, Michael, do you remember when we were in Japan about a year ago almost?
Yeah, it was, late April, early May?
Yeah, something like that. So when we were over there, saw a lot of weird stuff. A lot of crazy shit.
Yes. Robot bars and whatnot.
Yeah. Do you know the craziest thing I saw over there was?
Our friend Oded running around with a pair of boxers that had an elephant trunk coming out of the penis?
No. And also, I guess second craziest thing was me waking up with my pants on fully backwards, zipped and buttoned.
Look, I wasn't going to bring that up, but that is probably the hardest I've laughed in the past 5 to 10 years, is seeing that picture of you with your pants on backwards.
Yeah, okay, I'll put a picture in the show notes, because it's frankly hilarious.
Like, you woke up, took off your pants, because you were out with us in pants that were the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't backwards. So you woke up, you took off pants,
mm-hmm.
you also put back on pants.
Oh, important intermediate step. I also took off my underwear and did not put them back on.
Okay. You took off pants and underwear,
mm-hmm.
put back on pants backwards.
And then zipped and buttoned.
With no one, yeah, zipped and buttoned behind you somehow.
Mm-hmm. I'm a man of many talents. And frankly, fascinating drunken ability. No, Michael, the craziest thing that I saw in Japan was a big box full of 36 Zima bottles.
Oh, yeah, shit. I forgot about that.
You remember a malt beverage called Zima? The taste of the 90s, as I like to call it.
I do remember seeing all the commercials for Zima and then seeing them when we were in Tokyo and being like, wait, is this still a thing, or they just literally have bottles left over from 1994?
As of a year ago when we were there, I believe Japan and maybe Sweden, but I think it was only Japan, was the only company or only country on the planet that still received Zima. It was a massive beverage in Japan.
Why, like, why does that not surprise me at all?
I don't know. It's a place of weird shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
But guess what, Michael? It's coming back, baby.
To America?
Zima's back. Coming back to the USA.
Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It sounds like you're not too excited about that.
Well, I've never had it before, but like...
Me neither. I was too young.
Yeah. I imagine it tasting something like Smirnoff Ice.
Probably exactly like Smirnoff Ice. Without maybe like that crisp,
if I had
citrus
to drink,
flavor.
If I had to drink a Smirnoff Ice right now, I'd probably throw up on myself.
Well, Michael, since you've made me drink any number of Smirnoff ices, usually by tricking me into them when icing was a cool thing.
Oh, wait, wait. Let's back up a second.
Well, let's wait a second, then we'll back up. I will say, all I want to say is Zima, for whatever reason, like, I kind of want to try it out because I didn't in the 90s because I was, you know, 5 to 10 years old. Yeah. 5 to 15 years old, I guess.
Is that how decades work?
Yeah, I don't know math, whatever. The commercials for Zima, like, they stuck with me. It made it seem like such like a cool adult thing to like, oh, you got to be drinking Zima.
Yeah.
You need it. You got to want it. And so like in my head, Zima was always like pretty sweet, even though now that I know that it's just like a shitty malt beverage, like there's no way it's good. But 90s me was like, damn, Zima looks pretty fucking rad.
Are you too young to remember the Bartles and James commercials?
Yeah, I think so, but I do remember my aunt drinking Bartles and James pretty good.
Yeah, Bartles and James was probably about the same kind of thing for me. Was like, I thought Bartles and James was like what cool people drank when they were older.
Wait, is it not?
Apparently not. I mean, I still pound them by the caseful, if you know what I'm talking about.
I see you're drinking one right now.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Or is that actually is that a Seagram's Breeze?
I don't even know if they still make Bartles and James.
I don't think
but
they do.
I have had a Bartles and James before, no, Michael, and it is delicious.
They don't, but it's coming back in 2019.
Okay. Of course it is. Of course it's coming back.
Well, I mean, yeah. So
I'm going to drink the Bartles and James in my Zima while I watch Lethal Weapon on Fox.
And as of 6 months ago, you can get a Crystal Pepsi and a Surge to go with. Yeah.
I mean, why not? The 90s were a wonderful decade. Why not bring literally everything back that happened in the 90s? Are we going to bring fanny packs and like neon bicycle shorts back too? Because I hope so.
I mean, having seen a couple of fanny packs just this weekend, yeah, they're coming back. Don't you? One, they're handy as hell. I don't mind.
That's true.
You. Yeah. No, they're coming back for sure.
Well, if I'm not allowed to wear cargo shorts, I need somewhere to put shit. Fanny pack is the logical conclusion to that.
Yeah, no, you need that utility belt, which is what I'm just going to choose to call it from now on. This makes me Batman.
Yeah.
Not a 90s tourist. Well, okay, shit. Do we want to talk about ISIS? We can.
ISIS?
Smirnoff ISIS.
Very similar. I think they're both considered terrorism. Because icing someone should be considered an act of war, and everyone should go to jail for treason.
Well, as the chief counter-icing officer of our friend group, you can say that because you were very good at the old counter-ice. I don't mind telling you.
Yeah, well, look, I was out of college when the icing started.
Yeah, you owned a home. You actually owned your
own
home.
I owned a home, and you motherfuckers were driving up to South Carolina, and you made the mistake of going on social media back in the day when not everyone was on social media, and basically posting about how you had iced each other on this car trip where you were coming up to visit me in South Carolina.
Well, to be fair, one, I didn't toast. Two, I didn't ice. I got iced.
True. Yes.
Our good friend Odette and another friend, Matt, iced the shit out of me.
Yes.
And then posted about it. And you bring up a good point. This was shit.
2009, I believe.
Yeah. So like no one really understood the true ramifications of postings of it on Facebook. Like this was the halcyon days when you could just be like, I'll post whatever I want. No one's going to see it.
Exactly.
My aunt's not seeing shit. I don't have to post a picture and hear a Trump rant for 45 minutes. Like, yeah. It's carefree. No, like, so this is the record of my activity.
I had a very vague idea of what icing was, and I saw you iced at a gas station on your way up to visit me, and I was sitting there, and I was on Facebook, and I saw this picture, and I literally said to Rachel, like, fuck, these bastards are going to show up to my house, and they're going to try to make me drink Smirnoff Ice. I cannot allow this to happen. The only way that you can stop an ice is to ice yourself.
Or counter ice. You got counter ice. Yeah.
Right. And so I went and bought a 6-pack of Smirnoff Ice, still one of the most just embarrassing purchases of my life. And when you stupid bastard showed up at my front door and tried to pull out ice on me at my front door.
I'm going to just say, this is one of the funniest things I've ever like had done to me in my entire life. All three of us morons run up to your door with Smirnoff Ices in our hands. Like, all three of us are about to ice you. And it's just, we're so ready. You open the door, like, with your foot.
Mm-hmm.
We're all holding Smirnoff Ices like assholes. And you just pull out 4 Smirnoff behind your back. One, this is the dumbest, like, male douchebag shit I've ever done in my life. Two,
yes.
That was the funniest fucking thing I've ever had done to me. So, yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah, and then we proceeded to play drinking games all night, and people put Smirnoff Ices all over my house. And
I taped one to your toilet seat.
Yes, you did. You taped one to the underside of the toilet seat. So, like, not only did anyone who went to use the bathroom get iced, but, like, you couldn't pretend like you didn't see it.
Right. It's also one of those nights where, like, you know, you try to pull a good prank, but, like, you're just giggling to yourself. And as soon as someone gets, like, stands up to do something, you're like, oh, you're going to the freezer? Can you get me some ice? Like, yeah, like that dumb shit.
I found, like, warm Smirnoff Ices around just every crevice of my house. They were, like, in random shoes that I just had sitting out.
Michael, I guarantee you, whoever bought your house, or maybe the inspector who, like, was, checking on it, he found an ice in a crawl space.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably
that fool
got down on a knee and drank
that
ice.
That fool got owned so good.
He doesn't even know it.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Just thinking about that makes me it's so bad.
Michael, we are now 41 minutes into this fucking episode, and you know what we've talked about?
Bill Paxton.
Aaron Carter,
and Smirnoff Ice.
Smirnoff Ice. This is the dumbest thing we've ever recorded.
Is it? I mean, we recorded an entire, like, 2 episodes about Smash Mouth.
Speaking of which.
Okay. Well, we were talking about, like, how the 90s are coming back.
Oh, God.
Do we want to continue on this path?
You take me wherever you want to take me, my friend.
So if we want to move on from the 90s, I have a fun little story for you, Kush.
Please, lay it on me. I'm somewhat terrified. Are we moving onward or upward? Or which way are we moving from the 90s?
It's definitely not upwards. Never upwards.
Well, I mean, since the 90s are clearly the best time of the entire planet and everything's coming back, that's okay.
Well, you know, I feel like we've talked about meth a few times on this show.
Indirectly.
Well, I came across a story that, like, had me literally giggling for, like, 5 minutes.
You came across a meth story that had you giggling for literally 5 minutes. Michael, I have one very important question, and I think you know what it is.
No, I was not currently on meth at the time that I came across the story.
Michael.
Yes.
Is this a story from Florida?
It is not from Florida.
We did it.
But guess where it is from? New Zealand.
Hey, we did it.
So the police went to this house. They went there because the power company called them and was like, hey, we need to go and shut off power to this house.
Sure.
Because they've racked up approximately $10,000 worth of a power bill that they have not paid.
Too much meth.
Yeah. So they went to the house. It's in a town called Hawke Bay, which is in one of the northern islands of New Zealand.
Fuck, that's Kiwi as hell. Mm-hmm. Damn.
And as they were walking up to this house, they noticed that there was kind of a lot of lawn ornaments.
Like, too many? Wait, hold on.
Like, way too many lawn ornaments.
Like, we were talking, like, Ron Weasley's house lawn ornaments?
Like, hundreds of lawn ornaments.
You don't get that reference.
I don't get it. I assume you're talking about Harry Potter, because I recognize Ron Weasley as the redheaded kid from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Yeah, you nailed it. That's pretty much it.
So, yeah, hundreds of lawn ornaments, including gnomes, potted plants, pink flamingos. And the cop just happened to notice that, hey, a lot of these things seem to fit some descriptions of lawn ornaments that have gone missing over the past month or two.
Okay. Okay. First of all, okay, so we can't get Aaron Carter to report a triple assault, but people in New Zealand are like, hey, somebody, so they're wasting the police time with, someone took my fucking lawn ornament, man.
Yeah, I mean,
my gnomes, look, my gnomes are gone.
These things are expensive. Apparently, these things can be like $300+ for these garden gnomes, and somebody's just like going around stealing this shit.
I can't even, what?
Yes.
I could buy a new Xbox and these fucking idiots are buying lawn gnomes?
Yes, and Kush, I sent you a picture of one of these. It is a lawn gnome who has a sweet beard. And he has sunglasses and a gun.
Oh, shit. Yes. Yeah, he does. This is the fucking Judge Dredd of lawn gnomes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This Blade Runner motherfucker is fucking rad as hell. Are you serious?
Yeah. So the cop, I mean, you could see this is a very distinctive lawn ornament. I mean, he's holding a gun and he's wearing sunglasses. Not very many garden gnomes are going to be that cool.
And half his beard is white. Half his chin strap beard is white. The other half is like sort of like blood red.
Hell yeah.
Damn, dude. Yeah. This guy looks hard as hell.
So the police recognize that, hey, these are some of the things that people have reported missing over the last couple months.
Is this a Terminator lawn gnome? I think it is.
He looks like he...
No, I'm trying... No, he's got a very distinctive gun and glove. What movie is this from?
Damn, it's
got
to be from Terminator.
It's going to haunt me for the rest of my days.
He's definitely from one of the original Terminator.
Yeah. Shit, dog.
Got to be.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Holy hell. Okay, so how many lawn gnomes have this... I'm going to guess meth heads stolen?
Yeah, so they... Actually, these people weren't the meth heads.
Okay, go on.
Apparently, there is this new thing. I don't know if it's just specific to New Zealand or if this has come over the pond. But people are stealing lawn ornaments and trading them for meth.
So they're
instead
stealing,
of money.
So they're stealing $300 lawn gnomes and trading them for meth. To meth... dealers or and or cooks?
Yes.
And then the moron dealers and or cooks are putting those stolen $300 lawn gnomes into their front yard? Are you serious?
And then not paying their electric bill for like 4 years.
Well, you can't pay an electric bill with lawn gnomes if I've learned anything.
Yeah, so through the yard and throughout the house, there was between 300 and 400 various
Michael
garden gnomes, flamingos, potted plants, and other lawn ornaments.
Michael.
Mm-hmm.
That's too many of those things to have in your front yard, especially when they're all stolen to fund your fucking meth empire.
Well, look, I don't want to spread any fake news. The police were unsure if the owners of the house, because they weren't there when they came to shut off the power, they were unsure whether the owners of the house are buying these things from the thieves, and they're just hoarders. Maybe they're just hoarders of lawn ornaments, and they're buying them at a discounted price from the thieves, so the thieves can get their sweet, sweet meth.
Sure, you gotta get them meth.
Or possibly they're stealing them themselves, or maybe they're taking them as payment for meth.
So the second option is just some sort of like sweet lawn gnome, like Robin Hood. They're just like, no, we're taking these from the bad guys. They're ours now.
Yeah, so, yeah, apparently there's been just, like, dozens and dozens of lawn ornament thefts in Hawke's Bay, New Zealand, and okay, all of them have shown up at these people's houses.
I gotta be very honest with you. So, if the police are unsure of whether or not the people who own this house, who have 300 to 400 stolen, somehow very expensive lawn gnomes...
Mm-hmm.
Are actually dealing or, like, cooking meth, I feel like maybe the best course of action wouldn't have been to just walk up to the front door and be like, hey, what are you guys up to? Just being like, hey, maybe we'll watch them for, like, a week.
Oh, Well, you know, I get maybe that they're not used to the meth dealing in New Zealand.
I get that it's a quiet country. It's basically the Shire from the Lord of the Rings, but still, even those assholes knew how to control their seedier elements.
Well, what kills me is, like, the fact that they're unsure about whether they're actually dealing the meth out of the house, which means they're not, they clearly aren't cooking the meth in the house, because they went inside the house and found some other lawn ornaments. So if they are cooking the meth, they're cooking it at an offsite location and then just storing lawn ornaments at this house. Well,
Michael, surely they've gotten the Blu-rays of Breaking Bad at this point. They know you don't cook in your own home. But still, again, all they had to do was hire, like, a private investigator from Florida to follow them around and take pictures of them having sex and or cooking meth.
Well, the thing that I don't get is, like, what the fuck are they going to do with these lawn ornaments? Like, how is this a substitute for cash in the meth economy? Like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have $300 for my meth, but I have this lawn ornament.
I will take something that is, one, stolen, two, impossible to sell, three, worth literally nothing to anybody because it's impossible to sell.
Right, like, this isn't like a, where you're bartering, like, oh, hey, I'll paint your house and you give me meth, or, like, I'll fix your car, or something. Like, you're it's literally giving me something that I can't.
Here's three coconuts, or here's two tickets to check out the Shire, the Hobbiton experience in New Zealand. No, you can't do anything.
What are you going to do with them? Like, you literally can't do anything with them other than try to resell them on the gnome black market.
This is kind of like how I felt whenever I, like, was handed a, like, flyer or, like, a, like, something on campus at UF. Someone gave me something. I was like, here, you throw this out.
Yeah.
There's no value to this. Fuck off. Like, I'm not going to your shit.
Like, yeah, what am I supposed to do? Go to Best Buy and hand them a fucking Terminator David the Gnome and then all of a sudden I can buy, like, a TV or some shit? Like, no, that's not how this works.
No, you don't understand. It's worth $300. Yeah, you know what else is worth $300? $300 and this TV. You can come back with $300, you fool. Or you know what you can do with $300? Buy a fucking gnome, apparently, you idiot. Fuck off.
Oh my god, can you imagine buying a garden gnome for $300?
Michael, I can't imagine buying anything for $300 because I used my credit card and then paid off over the course of 19 years. That's how I live my life.
And then by the end of the 19 years, it costs like $27,000.
Yes. I'm an American. I do whatever I have to do to get that fucking TV. Are you serious? God, I can't. We could talk about garden gnomes for at least 13 more hours, I feel like, but shit.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else for me, Michael? We're getting close to time because we've only talked about...
Close to time already? I haven't talked about anything yet, Kush.
We've talked about everything, but they're all so dumb.
Okay.
They're so stupid. This is the dumbest episode we've recorded. That's saying something.
We're going to go rapid fire because I got some stuff. I got some stuff we got to get through.
Hit me with all your things. All
right. Kush, what would you say is the most amount of alcohol you've ever drank in a night?
Oh, God. You don't want to hear this story. It's all like the alcohol, but you know,
like
I'll tell you this.
Like half a handle, maybe? Have you ever finished a handle with someone else?
Almost.
Almost, right?
I probably drank two-thirds of a handle with our friend Amos, who we tried to do a two-man challenge to finish a handle of liquor, and I did a lot of it. I will say the most alcohol I ever drank, I probably wound up straddling a concrete sewer drain on the beach and thinking it was a manatee and telling the two awaken.
Was it like a full handle? Do you think you could drink a full handle by yourself?
Do I think I could drink a full handle by myself?
Yes.
In a day or in a night?
Just in a night.
No, absolutely not. I've tried with my best friend Amos. He's not.
What about 3/4 of a gallon of bourbon? Do you think you could fit that?
Shit, we were talking metric, and now we're back to imperial. I don't know.
Well, 3/4 of a gallon of bourbon is 2.84 liters, or approximately an entire handle plus another half of a handle.
Okay, yeah. Now that you've done the conversion for me, one. There's a reason the gallon of milk challenge exists, and it's because it doesn't kill you. Two, I've seen enough videos of people trying to chug a handle of anything and just immediately viscerally vomiting their entire guts out. No, Michael, I couldn't drink that. Fuck off.
Well, if you did somehow happen to stomach down three-quarters of a gallon of bourbon, would you go to your job as a bus driver the next day?
I wouldn't go to my job as a corpse.
So in Goose Creek, South Carolina. Hold on,
wait. Are you saying a man successfully drank 3/4 of a gallon of liquor in a night?
That's his claim. I don't know how they prove this or disprove it, but so let's just take a step back.
Please.
This man, he was driving kids.
Oh God, home. A school bus driver. You didn't say that. You just said bus driver.
School bus driver. He was driving some kids home from a theater/drama club event.
Okay.
He got pulled over because he was driving the wrong way with no headlights on a highway, which implies to me that this was at night.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't find any more details, but it sounds like they were coming home and it was in the nighttime.
Yeah.
And then when they pulled him over, he nearly backed into the patrol car because he didn't know how to put the bus in park.
Damn dog.
Yeah, so they said that he was pretty drunk, and he admitted to drinking 3/4 of a gallon of bourbon the night before.
Yeah, okay, so now that we're talking, so yeah, it should be that long. I will say, one, clearly he did not have that super cool watch that we talked about in episode 4.
Exactly.
Yeah, maybe he should have helped himself out.
Yeah.
Two, I will say, yeah, there's no way that if he drank that much in a night,
mm-hmm,
and then went to work. I thought you were gonna say that the next morning. There's no way that he knew what he was doing, because that much liquor, one, should kill you. Two, there's literally no way you would not be blackout drunk, even 6 hours later. This is from a professional blackout drinker.
They pulled him over. They obviously arrested him and they took him to jail, where they gave him a breathalyzer in the jail. So he presumably drank this alcohol the night before. It was nighttime now, the next night, and they had enough time to pull him over, do the field sobriety test, take him to jail, and then give him a breathalyzer. And he blew a .18.
Yeah.
We're talking like 18 to 24 hours after he would have drank this alcohol, and he's still at a .18.
So he was at a .18.
Yeah, which is over 2 times the legal limit. And this is 24 hours after he claimed he drank.
That's a couple different things. So I don't know the percentage thing. I know the standard liver rate was you kind of process a shot of liquor per hour. You know, mm-hmm, you can drink one and your liver will handle it. A fatal level of alcohol is,
yep,
I believe, maybe 0.4, maybe a little less, depending on who you are.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, yeah.
So after 24 hours, he was just under half of the LD50 of alcohol.
Yeah.
Holy shit, this guy probably was still blackout drunk when he got on the bus to go to work.
Yeah. I mean, he was driving erratically on the wrong way on the highway. So, like I just don't understand how this guy, like, is alive.
Well, one,
it blows my mind.
Thankfully, all the children on his goddamn bus who didn't have seatbelts because school buses are weird. Thank God they're alive. And
this is in South Carolina, because this isn't like in Russia.
Right. Yeah. So a couple things. Given his blood alcohol level when he was tested an hour after probably he was arrested, I have not too many doubts that he was actually literally drinking at least a half gallon of fucking liquor. Holy shit.
Mm hmm.
Okay, Michael. We're rapid fire. What else you got for me? Lay it on me.
Okay. I got one. I got another thing. So you've heard of dinner in a theater show, right?
Sure. I've never been to one because I'm not classy, but yes.
But the idea, like, you take your significant other out to a nice dinner, and then
Michael, we got popcorn. We went to see John Wick 2. I get the
exactly,
idea.
Yeah.
I know what's
bacon
going
popcorn.
On.
Yeah. Don't sell me short here. I got you some bacon popcorn.
Guys, it was so good. You got to get some. It's so good.
So there's this thing in the UK that a guy started, a man by the name of Sam Peary. So he's a school teacher, and he was very inspired, I will say, by the excitement of his students when they started studying biology.
Okay. That's literally my least favorite subject, but okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, students got really excited with, you know, being able to look at, like pig hearts, for example, and like do some dissections of pig organs. Well, he decided that adults might enjoy this as well.
Can I interject real quick?
Please do.
I went to high school with a kid in anatomy class. We had to biopsy a baby pig, And he licked the pig's eye.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He licked the pig's eye.
Oh, is he dead?
No, he's still alive because formaldehyde stuff. But, I mean, the pig was dead. The pig was dead.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was gross. Now that man's a doctor. Anyway, Michael, back to your story.
So this, your friend might enjoy this one.
I didn't say friend. I said kid I went to high school with. You don't put words in my mouth, friend.
So you go to this dinner. You have this very nice dinner. And the only way you know that something is a little bit of amiss is that there is a centerpiece full of syringes, medical waste bags, and Petri dishes.
Okay, so we're just talking about like Halloween Horror Nights. So you can get like a shot in a in a blood bag, for instance. Yeah. Okay.
Except that it's a lot different than that. Because as you finish eating your dinner, they pull back a curtain and there is this man, Sam Peary, the pathologist, quote unquote, and there is a body, a very realistic looking human body sitting on a table right next to where you ate dinner.
So this isn't the bodies exhibit.
No. And he starts pulling out some organs from this very realistic looking body.
Just yanking out organs. What is that?
Just yanking out organs.
CSI dinner?
So it's called the Anatomy Lab Live.
Okay, yeah. So CSI dinner. Cool.
Yeah,
cool,
so he decided that adults might get a kick out of seeing a live dissection and learning more about the wonders of the human body.
No, I wouldn't. Hey, get drunk and then look at me rip the heart out of this dude. How fun is that?
Well, you will be happy to know that the body is fake. It's not like a live cadaver. I mean, a live cadaver.
It's not
like a real cadaver.
You said something stupid now. Yay!
But you know what is very real?
The blood.
The organs.
One, why? Two, huh?
They're very real pig organs. Because pig organs are very, very close to human organs. So he pulls out like pig hearts and pig intestines and he brings them over to your table. And you can come and look at the body full of pig organs and you can look at the inside of a heart and hopefully not throw up the dinner you just ate.
Michael, I gotta tell you, I would throw up the dinner I just ate. But why did I have to bring it over to you during dinner?
It's after dinner, but like not like a long time after dinner.
Again, I don't necessarily know what this word means, but it sounds like a terrible DJ Steve. I'm not fancy enough for that word or a fancy dinner party where people put pig organs on your fucking plate.
Yeah, no, I'm not okay with it either. Like, and the weird thing was like, oh, it's like, okay, maybe this is just some weird shit that like 10 people did. No, these like tickets, it was at this Village Hotel outside of Birmingham, UK, and like the tickets are sold out and this thing is so popular he's going on the road, cuz he's taking this on the fucking road.
Hey, yo, rich people, I get it. One, you've got a lot of money. Two, you really want to see the poor people ripped literally to shreds and take all their organs out, but god damn it, can't you figure out a nicer way to just shit on your lesser man?
Yeah,
good lord.
I just can't even imagine, like, could you imagine?
No!
There has to be someone who takes a date there, right? Like, oh, this is gonna be really cool.
Hey, Bethany, I've got a great night lined up for you. We're going to have a sweet dinner. And then, some dude's going to rip pig hearts out of a dead human body.
Oh, God. It's like, yeah,
sorry,
tickets
Bethany.
Tickets are sold out everywhere, Kush.
What?
They're sold out everywhere. Blackpool, Leeds, Cardiff, Newcastle. Basically, everywhere there's a soccer team is all I know about the UK.
Hey, guess what? You just named all the worst, shittiest cities in the UK because Liverpool's number one. What? I don't know anything about
how much Liverpool. How much would you pay for this experience, Kush?
I'd make them pay me. Are you serious? What?
Like,
huh?
Like negative $30?
Yeah. Maybe? Can I bring my own food? I would maybe walk in and just like drop a Big Mac into the body. Be like, oh, fish that out, asshole. Feed it to that guy. I wouldn't pay anything.
£70, which is, I assume, is like $1 million because I don't know the conversion rate, but.
Well, that dollar is getting stronger. What up? True. I think it's like $120 now, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
Michael, so. I can't even tell you. I would not pay any price for that. Like, mm-hmm. I've even thought about going to the body museum for, you know, like, or sorry, the body exhibit at any museum, and it costs like $40. And even the thought of that makes me throw up. And that's just like desiccated corpses, not just pulling out random pig hearts. Which, now that I know that people are testing human pig hybrids, I don't know what your heart's up to. That could be Jeffrey down the street's heart in a pig. I don't know what's up. Okay, so we've talked Bill Paxton, Power mm-hmm. Rangers. No, we didn't talk Power Rangers.
We didn't talk Power Rangers.
Oh, man, the 90s are coming back. We didn't talk Power Rangers. I got too busy with Aaron Carter getting beat up by Donnie Wahlberg fanboys. Shit.
I feel like that's like a small snapshot of our podcast is like, we didn't have enough time to talk about Power Rangers because we were too busy talking about Donnie Wahlberg.
This is literally the dumbest podcast of all time. Well, Michael, I think that's going to do it for us on Trends in Low Places. I've had a great time talking to you about literally fucking nothing. Are you kidding me? We didn't talk about shit this week and I fucking loved it.
You know what? I'm just going to go out on a limb and say it. Best show ever.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and say it. This one is just for us. If anyone made it to the end, one, bless you. Two, thanks. Three, fuck off. This one's for us. You know? Go ahead and eat shit, I guess. But if you want to hear other good shows that aren't just for me and Michael, you can check out goodbuddymedia.com. We have all of our past episodes, which if this is your first one, I don't know why you would listen to the other ones, but other than all the ones we've referenced,
the other ones are so much better.
Yeah. I will say, I want to encourage people to listen to episode number 4, which we referenced very briefly in this one. It's a good one and no one's listened to it because we've got stats. So go listen to episode 4.
Please. Episode 4 is a good start for just our ridiculousness. Bed Bath and Beyonce.
Yeah. It took us a minute to find our stride and episode 4 is where it happened. So go back and listen to that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Michael, how else can people help us out?
You can find us on iTunes or your favorite podcast app and like us, subscribe to us, share us with your friends. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter at TILPcast. And you can also find us, like Kush said, at goodbuddymedia.com. You can find Trends in Low Places, but you can also find The Longest Days of Our Lives, our other podcast, which is where we break down minute by minute the longest days of Jack Bauer's life from the show 24, where we take our friend Curtis Perry, a 24 newbie. We kind of expose him to the wonder of Jack Bauer.
Yeah, and I think as Curtis is discovering, season 1 is a bit of an anomaly where Jack does not murder people left and right, and we would love for you to discover it along with him. And Michael, as we talked about last week, our friend Marissa, who designed our logo, which should be going live pretty soon, she also has...
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty fucking rad. It's based on a painting that Michael's wife, Rachel, who you heard about earlier in this episode, did of their dog, Staley, our best good buddy. Mm-hmm. It should be going live soon. But she has a podcast called M&K Talk YA, where they explore young adult fiction. Right now they're doing Cinder, The Lunar Chronicles, and they have a couple episodes coming up pretty soon. It's fucking rad as hell. And you
Cinderella
guys should...
with cyborgs, man.
Yeah, Cinderella, which apparently they made a movie of? Cinderella? Her? But definitely check them out. They're awesome. And then Marissa's done great work on our logo. So guys, please check us out on goodbuddymedia.com. Follow us on social media. Please give us a rating. It's super helpful. And definitely check out our friends Marissa and Katie with their new podcast. Michael, I've had a great time tonight, even though we talked about literally nothing.
Yeah, no, I had a great time too, and I want to say thank you again to Walter for bringing up a story that Michael Cushing tried to hide from me, you bastard.
Walter, I will find you, and I will give you the biggest noogie of your life. God damn it, you son of a bitch.
Anyway, everyone, thank you so much for joining us again for Trends in Low Places, episode 11. Ooh. Michael, have a great night.
Thank you very much. Love you, buddy.
Love you too. Toodles.